Okay, so it's me again. I have a bigger list now of co-authors, including many people who are in this room, Tricia, Lauren, and Monique, who's about to defend her dissertation. So I wanted to thank them all. They've been terrific and really very helpful with their feedback on this. In the last 2 minutes, I have not gotten any new disclosures anything to disclose. I kind of mentioned this a little bit, or alluded to this earlier, but there are over 65 million informal caregivers in the United States. And you can imagine that that's going to be increasing as the population continues to age. We're going, as I'm sure you well know, from about 13% over 65 to 20% over 65 in the next couple decades, and that represents about 29% of the adult population that provides care. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone is quitting their job and taking care of Ma 40, 50, 60 hours a week, so some informal care might just be helping pay with bills or going shopping, and some of it is very intense. And it's estimated pretty recently that it saves the national economy, particularly the healthcare field, $450 billion annually. So that's not a small number. But we know that that caregiving isn't really distributed nice and evenly in the population. It's about two-thirds of informal caregivers are female. The average age is about 48, so this actually affects people of all ages, it could be from teenage all the way through older adults. And about half of those caregivers are between 18 and 49. So this is a problem this is a challenge that affects, that really has a strong influence in the United States right now. In particular, sandwich generation caregivers, this actually hasn't gotten a lot of press lately. There's been a kind of a decrease in studying this over the last decade. There are a few people that are still studying this, I'm not quite sure why that is, because this represents people that are caring for children at home and an aging parent or other relative, an aunt or an uncle. A lot of these people are still in the workforce, and it's a growing population. The idea is there's increased intergenerational age. People are having kids later. People have had kids later. So there's increased intergenerational age and increased life expectancy, but not necessarily healthy life expectancy. We have Dr. Steve Wolf is here. He just walked in, and he gave a talk yesterday about how we have pretty long life expectancy, but not even compared to other comparable countries to us. We have pretty good life expectancy, but a lot of those people are living longer, but not necessarily healthier, and they require more time required for care. So there's sandwiched caregiver health. Of course, they have additional caregiving responsibilities, and it's been documented that they have increased caregiving stress and role conflict, whether or not you're trying to raise your children as well as taking care of mom or dad. Been a ton of studies several studies looking at decreased well-being overall. But the findings the jury's still out as far as whether or not this is truly a negative thing for people. There's been some studies that have shown that that sandwich caregivers may actually have health benefits from caregiving. But there's still a limited amount of studies on this, I think, important issue. So what are the needs of informal caregiver research? One thing is I think we need to compare sandwich caregivers to non-sandwich caregivers. If we can control for the demographics, clearly sandwich caregivers are going to be younger by definition, because they will have children at home as well. And looking at within family caregiving experiences, so looking at how do siblings take care of their older parents, whether there's whether there are sibling conflicts, things like that, who does the caregiving, who does what kind of caregiving. Lastly is really linking caregiver burden and caregiving intensity with the health status of the care recipient. So in other words, understanding what the caregiver needs are, what the needs of the care recipient are, whether that's dementia or caring for or stroke or cancer or whatever it may be, what those needs are and how that influences caregiver burden in the caregiving intensity. So the objectives really of this study, just to quickly describe the National Study of Caregiving, which for those of you that were here 15 minutes ago, you've heard some of this before. But then the real part of the study, which is why it's italicized, is it's looking look at associations between caregiving intensity and burden, and whether those vary, whether those associations depend on whether or change based on whether or not the caregiver is also providing care for a child at home. So, in other words, a sandwiched caregiver. So, again, the data came from the National Study of Caregiving. I did a little bit, doing a little bit more detailed now because this is to kind of complement what I had mentioned earlier, which is, again, you have an NHATS participant, this is an older adult, they can identify up to five people, and in this scenario, only three of those other people that are associated with them are considered caregivers, so those caregivers are then part of the National Study of Caregiving. And so, and we restricted to children caregiver of NHATS participants because for sandwich generation purposes, we're comparing children caregivers with and without children of their own at home. The sample size was just over 1,000, so about half of the caregivers were caregiver children. Again, and the data are publicly available at nhats.org. So the variables, oh, that didn't quite come out right. So exposure is caregiving intensity. It's a number of ADLs assisted with, actually, I'm going to just do this because for some reason that didn't quite come out. Oh, yes, I see. This is a different font. It came out as a different font. Okay. So the caregiving intensity is a number of ADLs, a number of IADLs, the average weekly hours of caregiving and duration of caregiving in years. We looked at four different caregiving intensity measures because these are all measures that are used in the literature. This is a preliminary analysis, so we weren't exactly sure what direction to go in, so these are the four that we started with. These are pretty predominant in literature. We looked at the four caregiving domains that we had I talked about a little bit earlier. Covariates and confounders, we looked at age, sex, marital status, whether or not the care recipient is a co-resident with the caregiver, and the number in the household, and we stratified by the presence or the absence of the child in the home under age 18. We did that exploratory factor analysis that I described earlier, but then the main analysis was looking, we used GLM, we did logistic regression modeling caregiver burden, we dichotomized it for each of the four burden measures, control for confounders, and we looked, we stratified by whether or not they're the presence of the child under 18, and we accounted for family clustering because one care recipient could name up to five caregivers potentially. We wanted to account for that somehow, so we took that into account, and it would artificially reduce the standard error otherwise. So we wanted to make sure that we were not being too generous with our p-values and things like that. So these are the caregiving burden factors from the exploratory factor analysis. I'll go through that relatively quickly. Here, this is the quick descriptive statistics for the sample. So again, we had 1,014 people. 833 did not have a child living at home, and 181 did. And we looked at compared, not surprisingly, there were age differences. The non-sandwich caregivers tended to be a little bit older. Sandwich caregivers were a little younger. Number in the household, of course, differed. And percent married differed. People in the sandwich generation were a little more likely to be married. And also, looking at the burden factors, the financial burden was actually a little bit higher in the sandwich caregivers than the non-sandwich caregivers. So I'm just going to walk you through the main results here. And just to orient you, so on the left-hand side, it's the caregiving intensity measure. So that's the explanatory variable. The outcome is the negative, in this case, the negative emotional burden is to dichotomize yes or no. And for each, within each of these little, the forest plot, each little section, we have the overall odds ratio, and then we have the non-sandwich caregivers with no children, and then the sandwich caregivers with at least one child. The null value is right in the middle there. So, and I highlight where they're significant. So the only significant association here was actually in years spent caregiving. So the greater the number of years spent caregiving, there's actually a protective effect against the negative emotional burden in the sandwich generation, which not quite sure why that is. So if you have any explanations, I would be really curious to hear them. Looking at positive emotional burden, again, we only had one significant finding. And overall, the more caregiving hours per month, the more likely it was to have a positive emotional burden. They were in the same direction, but when you broke it down by caregiver, sandwich generation caregiver status, they were not significant, but close. For social burden, this is actually one of the more interesting results, I think, is that For a number of IADLs predicting social burden, we actually had significant findings overall, and for people without children in the household. Same with ADLs, the number of ADLs, but there was actually no significant association for the sandwich caregivers. Not quite sure why that is. No associations for years spent caregiving, but when you're talking about caregiving hours per month, again, those were all significant. And if you notice the magnitude of in the sandwich caregivers, even though the confidence interval is much wider because of the smaller sample, the magnitude is a little bit higher than for non-sandwich caregivers. For financial burden, we found, again, some potentially interesting results where a number of IADLs helped with was predictive of financial burden, financial caregiver burden in overall and in the non-sandwich caregivers, and for caregiving, a year spent caregiving was actually significant for the sandwich caregivers. And that was the only finding that we had that was that where the sandwich caregivers made out worse than the non-sandwich caregivers. So just a quick recap. So there are important consequences for the caregiver, pretty much regardless of whether or not you're a sandwich caregiver. So there were a couple of differences that we should point out, although they were pretty similar, where increased time spent caregiving was associated with a greater social burden in sandwich caregivers, but not in non-sandwich caregivers. And increased years spent caregiving reduced the number of reduced the likelihood of negative emotional burden in the sandwich caregivers. Again, a finding that is I don't really know what to make of that exactly. So here are some strengths and limitations of our study. It's cross-sectional, and for now, eventually we will have longitudinal data. It's a pretty small sample of sandwich caregivers, though they are supposed to be representative of the caregivers across the United States. Again, we dichotomize the outcome and exposure variables, which, of course, the limitation of that, again, is the advantage of that is for clinical and practical use. It's pretty, say, okay, well, you have it or you don't, but for research purposes, it might be a little bit stronger to have the ordinal variables, the original ordinal variables. And we looked at the association between burden and intensity. What we didn't look at in the study, which we did in the models, but we didn't actually put it here, is what's the overall baseline level of burden in these different demographic groups. So we didn't look at that, we didn't post that here, but that's another interesting thing, another interesting direction we could go in. So we used theoretically somewhat validated burden outcomes through the factor analysis. The NSOC caregivers are identified by the care recipient, and this is actually one of the first studies where the care recipient actually identifies the caregiver. So it's not that a caregiver is saying, well, yes, I do, I help out, and even if they do, might spend 1 hour a day, it's the care recipient saying, no, my son Johnny helps out, and then they're included. We can see multiple caregivers for each care recipient, so we can eventually look at intra-family situations, and it is one of the first studies to use this new data set, which we're very excited to continue using. As far as implications and future directions, I think it's important to remember that caregiver burden is multidimensional, and to understand that how each individual type of burden is manifests itself in both caregiver in sandwich caregivers and non-sandwich caregivers, as I think is really important when you want to develop policies, programs, things like that, to really target what their actual needs are. And so I think the more we can kind of break this down and say, and really look at the data and say, well, we can't, to not make blanket statements about caregivers need this, to say this type of caregiver needs this, or this caregiver, these people that are providing this type of care, really have this critical need that we should address. And again, it's because this is a critical component of the healthcare system of the United States, is that to try to maximize the effectiveness of caregiving while really minimizing the bad aspects of burden. Other interesting things places we're trying to look at is there are some geographic identifiers that we can access, and hopefully looking at rural-urban differences, because where you live, maybe you may have differential access to the care recipient, to healthcare, to other things. Of course, we all know that there are a ton of rural-urban disparities in health. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, incorporating physical aspects of health in terms of burden into the analysis. And then recommendations based on that. Pearson, the references that I had cited throughout, again, wanted to acknowledge folks at NHATS and the and for their help with this. And again, thank you for sticking out with me twice. And now I will leave that up there if you want. So if you have questions or comments, I would be really curious to hear what you have to say about that. So thank you very much.